We're going to start from the beginning of the beginning. Before Yom Tov, we had the chance to hear the Rambam's voice in a letter that he wrote to Rav Avadya Iger, a letter which we found was Ma'at HaKamus Rav Eichos, only a couple of pages. But we saw so much of how the Rambam blends together halacha and machshava and sensitivity to people, and the Rambam's empathy, and the Rambam's very sharp, sometimes acerbic sense of humor, and incredible wit. We're going to go back now to the beginning of the beginning to explore the beginnings of the beginning. I'm going to go back to the very beginning of the Rambam's first major published work, and to thereby explore the beginnings of the beginning. I'm going to go back to the beginning of the Rambam's major publications. The first of the major publications of the Rambam is the Pirush HaMishnayos, which he wrote when he was a young man. Some suggest that it was part of a larger plan the Rambam already had for himself, a multi-decade plan. He was going to begin with building towards putting out the Mishnah Torah, which was a compendium, a digestion of all of Torah Sheba'al Peh. So he began by writing a Pirush on the basic work of Torah Sheba'al Peh, on the Mishnayos. And he writes towards the end of the Pirush, he had multiple goals in mind. He wanted even people with limited background to have access to at least this most basic work of the Torah Sheba'al Peh. He wanted to make the Mishnayos more accessible to people who are not as learned. And he wanted to reach people who are already Talmid Chachamim, for them both to appreciate the Mishnayos and to see the Mishnayos as an opportunity, learning Chazrei Mishnayos as an opportunity, together with his Pirush, to ready Chazrei the core sugyas of the Amoraim as well. And, as he points out, so even someone who learns a lot of Gemara is often missing a lot of basics, both in terms of halacha and lamdas, and certainly in terms of machshava and emunah. And so the Pirush HaMishnayos was, in a very deliberate way, the first of the works the Rambam published. And he wrote, not only is the Pirush HaMishnayos a line by line, or more precisely, a Mishnah by Mishnah running commentary, but he periodically stops to give you important hakdamos. There are a number of important, as we discussed earlier in the year, a number of important halachic hakdamos, most famously to Kachim and to Taras. There are others as well. There's a Hakdama to Arayos, there's a Hakdama to Malkus. And then he has a number of agadic Hakdamas. Hakdamas that lay out certain basic issues in Hashkafa and Emunah. Rav Shelat of Malei Adumim freshly retranslated and published three of them as a single sefer, Hakdamos HaRambam LeMishnah. Working backwards, it's the Hakdama of the Rambam to Pirkei Avos, the Shmona Prakim. Yes, all this is written in Arabic.
Translated from Arabic?
Exactly. There's Hakdama of the Rambam to Perek Chelek, where he speaks about the ultimate purpose and Agarata, and then closes with the 13 Ikari Amunah. And the first one, which is where we're going to begin right now, we are beginning with the beginning of the beginning. The Rambam is called Hakdama to Zroim. It's not really Hakdama to Zroim. It's, as you see on top of this page, it's Hakdama LeMishnah. It's before Brachas. It's Hakdama to the whole Pirush HaMishnayos, because it's Hakdama to Torah Sheba'al Peh. We're about to begin learning Torah Sheba'al Peh. The Rambam says, before you get to Brachas Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, you got to first know a number of basics. So this is really, as I said, the beginning of the beginning, the beginning of the Rambam's first major work, and it's going to allow us to explore the beginnings of the beginning, the beginnings of Reishis, the beginnings of Torah. And in the Hakdama LeMishnah, the Rambam, the great literary architect, he organizes the whole Hakdama is officially framed chronologically. The whole Hakdama is officially going, sort of like Maseches Pesachim. It goes, officially starts from Leil Yudal, Nisan works its way through the morning and the afternoon all the way to Leil Tezvav. But along the way, a lot of other things happen as well. Matzah and Mar, are discussed in the second parak, not the tenth parak. So the Rambam in his Hakdama LeMishnah, the whole Hakdama has a chronological frame. He's going to tell you the history, the story of Torah, from Moshe Mipi Agvura, that we're going to see very soon. The curtains rise very dramatically. We're in the Moshe Rabbeinu's Beis Medrash. Then he's going to take you chronologically from Moshe to Yehoshua and all the way through up until Yehuda Nasi, and then to the Chachmei HaGemara, to Ravina Rashi, who are putting together Talmud Bavli, and then finally Gaonim up until the time of the Rambam. So officially the whole Hakdama has a chronological scheme to it. But it's much more than just telling the story. The Rambam, like his hero of Yuhanasim, Maseches Pesachim, the Rambam is using that chronological framework to talk about, along the way, a number of very important things. We're going to see that very soon, the discussion of Moshe and Yehoshua, he's going to come to a major discussion of Nevuah, and discussion of Yuhanasi. That's his opportunity to talk about the structure and the parts of Torah Shel Peh, and what was learned on Sinai and what was not, and where did Machlokas come from. Later on, when he gets to Ravina Ravashi to talk about Agalata, there's a lot happening along the way. Over the next couple of weeks, Mr. Shem, we want to explore the opening pages of this Hagdama. From the description I just gave you, you see that it's officially one long Hemshech, but L'maisa, there are Ki'ilu separate Prakim, and there are separate sections. So hopefully we'll begin with the Rambam's, with Moshe Rabbeinu's Beis Medrash, and Mirza Hashem will have a chance both to explore a lot of what the Rambam has to write about Nevuah, as well as what the Rambam has to say about Torah Shel Peh and Machlokas, where Machlokas comes from, what did Moshe learn, what's the role of a drasha. A lot of these very important and fascinating questions that have come up periodically over the course of the year, now is a chance to really jump into it. Da, the Rambam says, the first thing you have to know, and this is where he begins the Hagdama to Mishneh Torah as well, not a much learned page, but before the Rambam begins, a couple pages before he begins Hilchis Yisodi HaTorah, Perek Aleph, there is a Hakdama the Rambam wrote, a couple of pages of a Hakdama to Mishneh Torah. And he opens both Hakdama to the Mishnah and to the Mishneh Torah the same way. Daki kal mitzvah shenasna Hashem l'moshe Rabbeinu nitnaloim perusho. The first thing you have to know is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each mitzvah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave it to him with the interpretation. And that's an amazing opening sentence. Once upon a time, when we started to see those charm together, we took some time to appreciate the opening line of the Paragal. This opening line of the Rambam is dazzling. How many words? Not so many. Around 10 or 12 words. Da, ki kol mitzvah, shenasa Hashem l'moshe Rabbeinu nitlo in perusha. In that single sentence, he already told us so many things. Number one, he starts by telling us that the Torah is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. Number two, he tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah specifically, both the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaalpeh. So what the Rambam means by mitzvah, as he makes it clear in a sefer that he wrote a few years later, the Sefer HaMitzvahs, mitzvah means commandments that appear in the Torah Shebichtav, in the Chumash. Something that only appears in the Torah Shebaalpeh, the Rambam says is binding, but it's not one of the Tariq mitzvahs. Way more than 613 dinim that we're obligated as Jews. So clearly when the Gemara and the Makkah says that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Tariq mitzvahs, not every din is a mitzvah. So you have to figure out what subcategory of dinim is actually a mitzvah. So one of the criteria that Rambam has is only things that are Torah Shebichtav. So Rambam is telling us that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, specifically that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave both the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shel Peh. In doing so, he is rejecting a very, very common idea at the time. When the Rambam came to Egypt, he discovered that the Pshutei Am, the lower classes of the Jewish community, the Hoi Polloi, were mostly people who believed in Torah Shel Peh, but the elite establishment were mostly Karaites, who rejected the Torah Shel Peh. Who thought that we should just follow the Torah Shebichtav as written and rejected the Torah Shel Peh, thought that was all made up by the rabbis. No one actually keeps the Torah Shebichtav as written. It requires, as Rambam is going to make the point, it's not written to be implementable. It requires interpretation. So honestly, it's a question of, do you use Chazal's interpretation or you make up your own? But this was when the Rambam came to Egypt, it was a major issue. We have loads of letters where he's fighting against the Karaites. Lahakal and Lahachmer. The Karaites didn't believe in taking care of your health. The Karaites did not believe in basic hygiene. They thought it was a lack of bitachon. The Karaites did not believe in going to mikveh in the way that we do. There are a whole slew of things. So they were like the socially speaking, until the Rambam came to Cairo, the Karaim were the sophisticated elites, and the Rabbanim, people who followed the Rabbanim, were the lower classes. Until the Rambam came, the Rambam's intellectual credentials were undeniable and indomitable, and he really turned everything over. The Karaites met their match with the Rambam, and all of a sudden, one of the most significant things he did for the Egyptian Jewish community was to change the whole lay of the land. It was no longer unsophisticated to believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. The Rambam changed that, and we mentioned earlier in the year that the Chaim Soloveitchik's suggestion that the way the Rambam structured Hilcha Shabbos in Mishnah Torah is meant to reflect that. The polemic against the Karan. And it's the opening line. This is one of the Ikari Amuna. We believe that Torah is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Specifically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvos, the psukim and the chumash, as well as their interpretation. Im Peirusha. And now he begins to explain what that means. Haya Hashem Omer Lo. Oh, and one more point. That's already tinkling in the background here, is going to come to full fruition in a later sefer, is that he doesn't begin, in a moment he's going to talk about mikra, about psukim. But in this opening sentence, he doesn't say Torah Shebichtav or mikra or pasuk. He says, what term does he use? Mitzvah. Because as we're going to see in the Mishnah Torah more extensively, far more extensively, the Rambam saw the mitzvah is not just sort of like an interesting curiosity. It's the Gemara end of Makkos, 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam saw mitzvahs, the 613 mitzvahs, as the basic building blocks, the basic structure of Torah. Torah is structured around, all of Mishnah Torah is structured as the bayer, the elaboration on the 613 mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are the atoms, so to speak, the basic building blocks of Torah, certainly of halacha. So the Rambam is presented that way from the get-go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvos together with their perish. From the outset, and then he explains, "Hayashem Omer Lo Hamikra, Yachak Omer Lo Peirusho, VeInyano Umasha Kolel Ze Hamikra Mechukam." What that means is, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he would teach him the pasuk, teach him Torah Shebichtav, and then he would explain to him the meaning of it, the perush, and what some of what's implied by this Mikra Mechukam, this intellectually sophisticated sentence, the pasuk. And what did this look like? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then what happened next? He says, this is what the Beis HaMedrash looked like. I wonder sometimes in the past, what would it be like to be in the Beis HaMedrash of the Baal HaTosfos? I'm very curious. What did they serve in the Chadar Ochel? Like, what were the Siddurim like? Like, what were their hours? Like, what was it like? You were a Talmud at the other time as a Yeshiva. Like, what did that mean? Probably like, what was Shacharis? And like, two-starim, three-starim? Was it all Iyun Kala all day long? Was there a Bikiyah say? Like, how did Shir work? Was Shir every day? And what was it like in the Batei Medrash of the Amorim or the Tanan? Like, what was it like to be one of Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 Talmudim? Like, what did that look like? What was that experience like? And how was it structured? I mean, so the Rambam actually takes us back to the very first yeshiva in Jewish history. Rambam takes back to Moshe Rabbeinu yeshiva, based on Thomas in the Midrash. Torah Limud Lizok and Moshe Sapro. What was Shir like in Yeshivas Moshe Rabbeinu? Yeshivas Moshe Rabbeinu. Ayubala Ahalo. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to his tent, as opposed to their tents. As opposed to which other tent?
The Olmoid.
Because over the course of the Gemara points out that sometimes the Psukim describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. Sometimes the Torah speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaching Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Ohel Moed. Think, for instance, about the opening Psukim in Parshat Vayikra and the long Rashi's there. Sometimes the Torah speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaching Moshe Rabbeinu Torah and Moshe teaching Kalal Yisrael Ba'arvos Moed on the eastern bank of the Yarden. On the Moab side of the Yarden, facing the Yarden that they will soon cross over after the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara highlights that there are three different geographies, three different locations that the Torah gives. We tend to ignore all those names and places because we're like, dates and places, whatever. Unfortunately, history class may have convinced some of us that dates and places are boring and irrelevant and things you should forget. They are, unless someone explains to you why they're significant. Sometimes they're very significant, like we saw about Amsterdam in 1740. So sometimes we zone out when the Torah tells us what date and where things are happening. We shouldn't. It's in the Chumash, it's there for a good reason. So the Gemara highlights that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu Torah in three locations. He taught HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu Torah in Sinai, and then in the Ol Moed, and then finally at the end of the 40 years, Ba'arvas Moed. So let's imagine it's Ol Moed. So he leaves the Ol Moed where he had heard Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he comes to his own Ohel. So first there's a private shiur that Moshe Rabbeinu gives his brother Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu teaches the Pasuk and the Torah Shel Peh to Aaron. And as we hear the Rambam telling us the story of Moshe Rabbeinu's yeshiva, it's fascinating to hear, and our mind should also be open to thinking about what larger lessons are we drawing from this. Watch what happens. Achach mistalik Aaron v'chozlu min Moshe Rabbeinu. So first it was Moshe facing Aaron, and then Aaron comes around to sit on the dais on Moshe Rabbeinu's right side, and next come in the next shear. Who's the second shear? Nechnasim achar kein Elazar v'yisamar banav. Nadav and Avihu had already perished. But Elazar and Yisamar are the surviving sons of Aaron, and they get the second shear. Who gives them the shear? Korei Moshe gam lehem k'moshe kar l'Aaron. Moshe teaches them the way he taught Aaron, the Torah Shemichzav and the Torah Shvapeh. V'achach mistalkin shneim. Then they move to the dais. Chozer echamehem l'smol Moshe Rabbeinu, hashen l'min Aaron. And then they flank Moshe and Aaron. So now in the center, two on the dais are Moshe and Aaron. And then the outside are Elazar and Yisamar. And then comes the third shear. Who's the third shear? Nichnasim achach ken shivim zkenim. The 70 zkenim come in. Lamda Moshe gam ken. Moshe teaches them. And then finally, shear number four, given by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah Shel Tzav and Torah Shel Peh, possibly chunk by chunk. Remember, Rashi tells us the beginning of Chumash Vayikra that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu Revach ben Parshel Parshel his bonim. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't get to teach him all the Torah one time. He taught him, and then Moshe Rabbeinu had a chance to think and to chazer and to digest, and then more. Often there was a break for Moshe to teach it to Kali Yisrael. So Moshe gives the shir Torah Shel Tzav and Torah Shel Peh. Taught Moshe and Torah Shel Tzav. Moshe teaches it to Aaron. Then Moshe teaches it to Nadav Avihu with Aaron listening. Then Moshe teaches it to Shimon Zekanim with Aaron and his sons listening. And then finally, shir 4 was open. The first three shiurim that Moshe gave were on any given topic were by invitation only. The fourth shir was public shir. Call Mevakesh Hashem. Anyone who is yearning to hear Dvar Hashem, to learn Torah, can come to hear Moshe Rabbeinu's fourth shir. The Korei Gam Lehem. Ad Sheyishma Kol Mimenu. So now everyone, the Rambam stresses, had the chance to hear it from Moshe himself. Any Jew who wanted could learn Torah directly from Moshe. But we're not done. Moshe is done, but we're not done. Because then, Chozer Aram. Achach Mistalik. It says everyone heard it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron heard it four times. The two sons of Aaron heard it three times. The king heard it twice. Everyone else heard it once. And then Moshe leaves. Chozer Aaron records that Mikra Shalom and Alteh. Then Aaron, who had heard it four times from Moshe Rabbeinu, turns around and gives the shear to everyone. And then Aaron leaves. Nimsu Shnei Abanim. And that means that the Nadav and Avihu also now had learned it four times. Three times from Moshe, and once from Aaron. Now that they've heard it four times, they turn around and give a shear. Chozer gam elozer v'yisamar achar yistalek Aaron, recurring to Aaron mikar be'eino. They would teach the pasuk and the Torah Shel Peh. They heard it four times, as we explained, to everyone who's there, and then they leave. Now he says, the Shimon Zekanim had now heard it four times. Twice from Moshe, once from Aaron, and Shimon Zekanim heard it the fourth time from Elozer v'yisamar. So Shimon came, Shomon Zambik, or here at the end of the first paragraph. Arpa Am Gamkin, Pamayim Moshe, twice of Moshe, once from Aaron, once from Lazarus. Summer, the Chozrin, third to last line, the first paragraph, the Chozrin, Gam Shivim Zekeinim, Acharikei, the Korv Zan Mikro Lahamon, Pamacher. Now, finally, the Shivim Zekeinim give a shir, to the open shir. And now what emerges, Nimzu Ha'am Shom Ha'im Zan Mikro, Arba Pam Gam Kein. Every Jew wanted, heard the Torah taught four times. Pami Moshe, Shneem Li'arim. Shishim Mibanav, or Reviz Mishivim Zekeinim. It's fascinating that Rambam is spending so much time and describing an immense, intricate detail, almost painstaking detail, how exactly this works. Oh. What points is the Rambam making? What larger themes emerge from thinking about the very first yeshiva in Jewish history? Give me one.
Mesorah.
Yeah. Chazara.
I have a question.
Okay, we'll come back. What else do you see?
It doesn't matter what level you are, you have to put in the work.
Ooh. Ooh. Accessibility. Yeah.
Maybe this might be like some other people were saying. It's like it was logistically a very big process. Like they put a lot of it was a very detailed and thought out.
Wow, I think those are all great four excellent ta'aris. All four themes are present. The Rambam is stressing are present from the beginning. Chazara was a part of Talmud Torah from the outset. From day one. The Gemara says the Chazara has for a very long time, since days of Amoraim at least, been in Yisayon. Yadir Rabban Lahayim Elzah Avirallah. Amoraim also struggled with Chazarin. This is a good limit to begin as we look forward to Chazara's man. Chazar has been a part of Lumina Torah since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And you pointed out, Binyamin, that from the get-go, Torah has always been accessible, L'chol Mevakesh Hashem. And that required, as Joey pointed out, that required a lot of planning and a lot of, there were logistics and it's not just a 21st century phenomenon. That running a successful yeshiva requires a lot of planning, a lot of management, a lot of logistics. That was true in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu also. They weren't thinking about bus schedules. But there have always been logistics. You want to be able to teach Talmud Torah to Kalal Yisrael on a mass level, which is one of the greatest goals in the world. It's going to require organization. And all of this is from the get-go because Masorah is a central part from the get-go. Masorah of Torah began right now. And as you're saying, we're already seeing, even in the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's ironic, even in the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already wanted Klal Yisrael to be able to visually see the notion of Masorah. You see that Torah, that Moshe taught Aaron, and Aaron taught the Elazar Yisamar, and they taught the Zakenim, and they taught us. We also have the opportunity, at the same time, the system is arranged like you're saying, everyone has access to Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Rambam stresses, Kol Mevakesh Hashem, he threw in that phrase. Anyone who didn't just say the Hamonam, he didn't say everyone, he said anyone who wants, if you're a Mevakesh, if you wanted to go to Moshe Rabbeinu's Yeshiva, you could be there. And at the same time, the system was, the carefully crafted system was such as the same time everyone had some access to Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone also, because Harei Tzarechion, why didn't just have Moshe Rabbeinu give the shir four times to everyone? So the answer is probably, at least in part, for us to see that we have a Masorah on the very concept of the Masorah. The very notion of Masorah is already part of our Masorah from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. It may also be one added twist. Part of the concept of Masorah also is that not everyone is an equal Talmud Chacham. Korach, the Rav's famous drasha, it's in Reflections of the Rav, a common sense rebellion of Korach. Korach's argument was Kol Ha'ida Kulam Kedoshim V'Sacham Hashem. Madu Tesnash L'Kal Hashem. We're all holy. We're all Har Sinai. So why do you think that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are uniquely equipped to tell us what the din is? We can all just find our own spirituality, and whatever is common sense, we're just going to do, and that's that. And that's what Adas Korach felt, and the clear import of the story is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not agree with that. Everyone is meant to mevakesh, and everyone is meant to strive to learn Torah to become as great a Talmud Chacham as you can, and at the same time, not everyone will become a Chacham Chachmei HaMesorah. There is a concept of certain people become, through hard work, and through Siyata Deshmaya, become Chachmei HaMesorah. That's a unique subset of Klal Yisrael. So everyone had access to Moshe Rabbeinu, but at the same time, not only did they see the phenomenon of Mesorah, they also saw that not only am I not Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not Aaron. I'm not Nadav and Aviyah. I'm not the Shivim Zekanim. Not everyone is part of the Sanhedrin. That these were all the notion of Mesorah, the notion of Chachmei HaMesorah, and the critical importance of Chazara, and the fact that Torah is accessible to everyone if you're a Mavakish, and the organizational background, the logistics, the back office work that are required to make Limud HaTorah work well, all these were there from the outset. Let's read just a few lines more. Actually, let's take some questions, and then we'll close up with just a few lines more. Yeah?
When it says that Moshe taught and those Kenan taught and Aaron taught, does it mean the actual words that we have in the Torah? Because if so, it would be weird to hear someone talking about the people in the past tense. Meaning Bamidbar is all in the past tense, so does that mean that Moshe was...
Well, we usually assume, that's the implication of the Gemara in the first part of Bava Basra that you already learned, about the Gemara is a dion about the Shemona Pesukim Shabbat Torah. So the implication is that might be an exception. Maybe there, at the Machlokas, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach it to Moshe Rabbeinu to teach the Klal Yisrael before it happened. Maybe that's an exception. But it seems like in general, the default is that the Chumash was told to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the Klal Yisrael in past tense. In other words, they got the Moshe Rabbeinu taught them the psukim of, let's say, Parshas Korach after the story of Korach had occurred. They heard about the Slav after the event of the Slav was over. Now the Rambam is focusing primarily on the halachic parts of Chumash. Another thing that goes back to Chumash, it doesn't just start with the Gemara, is a blend of halacha and agada. Chumash itself has a blend of halacha and agada. They have parts of Chumash that are telling you dinim, telling you mitzvahs, and parts of Chumash that are telling you stories. All of it is telling you critically important lessons. But some are halachic and some are agadic. So the Rambam in his language, talking about mitzvos in the first sense, is also stressing the halachic parts of Chumash as opposed to the agadic parts of Chumash. But presumably what he's describing was true of both. At some point, after various events happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu the text of Chumash about those events, and Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to Klal Yisrael. Yes. But we do mean literally the actual word-for-word dictation of the Pesukim and Chumash together with the explanation. Yeah, questions? So a question from the back? Joey?
So, just clarifying what Debbie said before, about the coming of the Chachmei Mesorah, so obviously Moshe Rabbeinu was the obvious exception that it was full to that. Where do we see that Aaron and his sons work towards it?
That's an interesting point. I was saying about how you become a Chachmei Chachmei Mesorah in large part through your own hishtadlus. I'm not sure b'chalal that yegiyah in learning was the same in the door of Moshe Rabbeinu as in any subsequent door. And we're going to get soon. Rambam is about to point out, no, we're not going to see it today, that the most significant turning point in the over 3,000 years of the intellectual history of Torah, in the history of the Mesorah, the most critical turning point was only 40 years in. The death of Moshe Rabbeinu was the most significant transition point. We're going to see why. That may speak to your point also. One thing that we have not heard yet, and we're going chronologically, so right now we're still up to the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. We heard a lot of detail about who's teaching whom, and who's teaching whom, and who's coming and going on, and all the Chazar, everyone learns it four times. What have we not heard yet? A verb that we haven't heard yet. Machlokas. A verb. What are people not yet doing? They're not arguing. Okay, good. That's an important point. We're going to get to Machlokas at post Moshe Rabbeinu. He did say they're learning. They're being lomade. But they're not. They're not being dorish. They're not being cholik. Even more, they're not asking questions. They're not reading. And what goes along with reading? What happens before you can read something? Someone has to? No. Before you can read something, someone has to write. We have not heard anything. All of you made very good points. We have not heard about machlokas. We haven't yet heard about asking questions. And we haven't yet heard about reading and writing. As in, nothing is yet in writing. He must have been illiterate.
What were they
going to
write?
He goes on to say in the very next sentence. After they left Yeshivas Moshe Rabbeinu, where anyone who's Mevakesh Hashem was able to hear each shir four times from four different Rabbeim, from Moshe, from Aaron, from Nadav, from Shim Zakenim, then everyone would spread around Machane Yisrael, teaching each other what they heard from the Shaliach, from Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ultimate messenger. And they would write it in Megillos. In, as we saw when we learned the sugya of the Tzirtzirtot, a casual document. No personal notes. It's fascinating. We're going to get to B'li Neder next time. The Rambam is going to, at the end, before Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, the Chumash tells us, Parashat Eilach, that he committed all of Torah Shebichsav to writing. He wrote one Sefer Torah, 13 Sefer Torah. But the Rambam is of the opinion, this is already machlokas in the Gemara, that although Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching them the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shepet together, it was originally all Baal Peh. I think Rav Hirsch makes this point. Rishim Shofarol Hirsch. I think Rav Shim Shofarol Hirsch makes a point. He too was fighting, the contemporary edition. Exactly, his generation's edition of the Rambam's Karaites and the Tanaim and Sedukim. Yet another group that was denying the veracity of Torah Shebaal Peh. So Rav Hirsch points out that not only did Torah Shebaal Peh not come centuries after Torah Shebichsav, as many Apikorsim have alleged, it actually came first, because originally Torah was only Baal Peh. That may be another point that Rambam is stressing. In addition to stressing Masorah and Chachmei Masorah and learning and Chazara and accessibility and organization, he's also stressing, number one, as you point out, there isn't yet any machlokas. We'll get to that after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. And there isn't yet anything written. It's all. Torah began as Torah Shebaal Peh. Even the text of the Psukim of Chumash, which we call Torah Shebichsav, they were not yet Bichsav. There was a fixed text, but it was an oral text at first. People began to take their own notes. People had the right to write their own private notes, so you could remember things. People were writing B'Megilos, and then we'll pick up next time with what other learning was going on during the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu, leading up to what happens at the end of the life of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that will then take us to the, as I said before, the most significant inflection point, the most radical transition in the whole history of the Masorah, the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, and where that sends us, and that in turn will take us to the world of Nevuah, and to the world ultimately of Torah Shebaal Peh, and part Torah Shebaal Peh, and Machlokas, and a lot of important and hopefully fascinating topics that are coming our way.